Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we doing? Good. It's good to be here. It's always a privilege to be here, actually. I love coming to this church. And actually, I really like what God is doing here. I've been talking to an individual earlier as we were coming in. We're talking about the importance of integration and becoming one community. And actually, it's something that I see happening here, which is a credit, because that isn't always an easy thing to negotiate, but it's a credit to you. It's a credit to you as a whole, because actually it takes a whole church to be united, and it takes us all a lot of time to lay down a lot of what we maybe think, maybe what we'd like to do for the sake of others. So I just want to say good job. From what I see, it's all good. Either that, or you're covering it all up and you all hate each other, but you've covered it up really well on a Sunday morning, so we're all good on that front. Okay, so anyway, we're going to look at this this scripture this morning. When I was thinking about coming to this church, this is what God put on my heart. So I'm hoping this morning that we would maybe hear something that we haven't heard before, see something that we haven't seen before, and we would therefore be enabled to go and do something that maybe we haven't done before. That is my heart and my prayer for this morning. So we're going to look at a scripture that was so beautifully read by my friend down here. Thank you very much. And it is entitled, A Blind Beggar Receives His Sight. Now, this account is also comes up in a couple of other Gospels. One of them gives us a name of Bartimaeus. This one doesn't give us a name. Another Gospel message gives us the fact that there were two blind people that were healed. That's cool. Maybe there was just a load of blind people coming and receiving sight. Maybe that's what God was doing at that moment in time. So we need a name. So can anybody from the younger generation give me a name for this person just for the sake of the story? Come on, you're going to have to be brave. Somebody needs to give me a name. Give me a name. Please give me a name. Otherwise, I'm going to have to make one up. Who said that? Do we have a name?
Fred.
Who? Fred? Did someone say Fred? Yeah. We've got Fred. We're going with Fred. Okay, so Fred is the blind man that has been healed this morning. Excellent. Okay, so it says, let's start with me. We can have those words back up on the screen. That'd be really helpful. Then we can all follow together. As Jesus approached Jericho, now this was about a week before his death and resurrection, so this is coming towards the end of Jesus' ministry. And it says, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. Now, looking into this culturally, we can probably guess that this blind man's been here for a long time. I would imagine he has his spot that he goes to each day, and he's sat there. He's blind, obviously, and he's begging. So to get ourselves into this story, I need a little bit of participation. So what I need you to all do is I need you to shut your eyes, just for a minute, okay? And then, because you're gonna cheat, I now need you to put your hands over your eyes. So actually, no, you should. And then there's some of you out there going, I'm too cool for this, Dan, all right? So just humor me, just shut your eyes, just put your hands over your eyes. And then what we're gonna do right now is you blind, okay? In this moment, you are blind. And now what I want you to do is I want you to point to where you think I am in the room. Okay? From when I'm talking. Okay? Now, okay, we've got me. You've got me. You've got me. And I'm putting the microphone down because obviously that doesn't work. All right? So if I walk over here and start talking over here. Okay, good. Very good. If I walk right down here, someone's actually following me with their finger. That's quite freaky. If I went and sat here. Okay, good. All right. And if I finally went over here and kept talking. Lost a few of you there. Okay, so what we can see, right, this is really cool. So what happens is you can open your eyes now. By the way, I've taken your wallets, your phones. I won't be returning. What we can see, right, is that actually, when we cover our eyes, the sense of hearing is heightened. This is really important. When our sight is gone for this poor man who was sat by the roadside, I think he actually had a better understanding of who Jesus was than maybe those that could see. This man had clearly heard about Jesus. This man had clearly heard what was going on, but his senses were heightened and he was listening to all that was going on. Do you know what? We live in a world, and it's already been mentioned this morning by Ali, that distracts us. It is fighting for our attention. It is doing everything it possibly can to grab you into something, whether it be an advertisement, whether it be a new way of living, whether it be a new trend. It is fighting for your attention. There are people that are paid hundreds of thousands of pounds a year to try and get your attention, to make a new model, to make a new something, a new app that's going to grab you. This is what our world is all about now. It wants you. In fact, it needs you. To make money, it needs you. And so we must be conscious of what is going on, right? Now, you could say, to some ways, Fred was in an advantage because actually he couldn't see a lot of what was going on, but he could hear. About 6-7 years ago, my wife went blind. Literally, she had an eye infection. She got given some eye drops to put into her eye. She had an allergic reaction to the eye drops. They didn't know this was coming. They didn't know why. And she lost her sight. And for 3 days, she was laid in bed. And they said, we hope she'll see again. I don't know. So they were trying to find some eye drops and trying to find something that wouldn't react and wouldn't work. And eventually, praise God, thank God, she got her sight back, right? And so for those 3 days, I was kind of panicking, I'm not going to lie. I was kind of like, oh my goodness, so how does that work? How does life work if my wife can't see anymore? I think I've got to do a lot more around the house. This is going to be tough. Anyway, so I was trying to like work out how this was going to work and this, that, and the other. But the whole time that I ever went to speak to her, like, are you okay? Can I get you anything? This, that, and the other. She said, yeah, I'm fine. I'm like, what do you mean you're fine? And she said, you know what? I've never felt so close to Jesus in all my life. There's nothing else I can do. I can't read. I can't watch. I can't do anything. All I can do is just lie here and just hope my eyes are going to get better. But you know what, Dan? I've never felt so close to Jesus. And I've never had so much peace in my life. And I'm like, whoa. Didn't see that one coming. That's amazing. So here's our guy, Fred, who actually, we look on him and go, oh man, poor blind man. Yes, it is a bad state. But he had something that we maybe have to fight for continuously. He had that heightened sense of who Jesus was. Let's crack on a little bit more in this story. So, when he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Now, oh, man, I would love to go on what happens when Jesus or when God passes by. But that's a whole other talk for a whole other time. But this is a big thing. Let me tell you, when God passes by, when Jesus passes by, something happens. There is never a moment in this world that I can find where God passes by or Jesus passed by and nothing happened. And what usually happens is that when God passes by, something changes. Something changes in your life. I don't know if you've ever had experience where all of a sudden it just feels like God is just doing something and he is literally tangibly here. Anyone had that experience? And God, something changes. You cannot go into that experience and not change. You cannot meet with the Holy of Holies, the Creator, the Author, and Perfecter of our... You can't do it without something changing. And in this moment, Jesus was passing by. And do you know what? Fred knew. Fred knew because those heightened senses of listening, he heard the babbling going on, he heard the talking, he probably heard a lot of the stories. But there was a thing about Fred that was incredible. Listen to this. He said, they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Do you know, in that moment, that tells me that Fred knew more about Jesus than probably most of the people that were following him. Most of the people that were walking behind him. Most of the people that had seen the miracles with their own eyes. I think in that moment, Fred tells us he knows more about this Jesus guy than they do. Because he calls him by name. He tells him exactly who he is. He says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now we got the nice genealogy of Jesus in the beginning of Matthew, and that's really helpful, but you know what? Fred knew it. He knew it. He knew because his senses had been heightened. He listened to what was happening. He listened to the miracles that had gone on. He listened to what people were saying about him, and he knew who this guy was. He knew who Jesus was. And my question is to you this morning, some of us, do we know who Jesus is? Have we actually looked into who he was? Can we actually stand here and say, without a matter of fact, I know who that guy was? Because I'm telling you, he lived, he died, and he rose again. There's no argument about that, but you've got to work out who he is. And do you know what? For those of you that have been following him for a long time, there's a whole heap more than you've ever realized. And when we heighten our senses into, I really want to know and I really want to find out, it just gets bigger and bigger. God just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But this guy, Fred, while he was sat there on the side of the road, begging, blind as can be, he knew who Jesus was. And that's why he cried out in that confidence. It says, carries on. In verse 39, it says, those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Can you imagine those people? So you got Jesus and like kind of this entourage. That was not Jesus' choosing. This was just what happened when Jesus was around. There was this entourage. And you can imagine, can't you, those people like leading the way, you know, the ones just go, I'm going to protect Jesus. Yeah, like the Son of God needs any protection, but I'm going to protect Jesus. That's my role. So I'm just going to move people out of the way as he's walking through the crowds. I'm going to make sure he doesn't get into any trouble, make sure nobody hurts him. I mean, to walk before, literally a week before his death and resurrection. But do you know what? This person's going to move people out of the way and he's going, you come through, Jesus. I've got you. I've got you. And of course, they're going to start telling these blind beggars, shh, rebuke you. Get out of the way. Jesus is not for you. This is an important man, okay? You're a blind beggar. You're not important. You're the lowest of low in society. You're not the kind of people that Jesus has come for. And you can imagine Jesus' heart behind just going, oh my goodness, if only he knew. He thinks he's helping me, man, he's hindering my gospel message. Have we ever hindered Jesus' gospel message before? Maybe by what we've done. Maybe by actions. We haven't done it on purpose. Maybe there's things we've done where we say one thing and actually we act out another. Are we loved by what we say or are we loved by what we do? Have we actually helped those around us to see Jesus or have we actually given them a little bit of a warped view? Now, we ain't perfect. Of course we're not. But let's be conscious of what we're doing. The moment you stand up and say you're a Christian, people are watching you. I don't care how important you think you are, the moment you take a stand for Jesus Christ, people are watching you. Because they want to see Jesus. They want to see Jesus. There's a hope and a desperation in everybody's heart, right? It's put there from birth. They want to know why they're here. They want to know what this is all about. And they want to find the reason. And Jesus is the reason. And so the moment you say, I'm a Christian, they're looking at you going, is that it? Is that the reason? I'm not putting any pressure on shoulders. I'm trying not to do that. I'm just trying to say, you're an ambassador for Christ. You represent him. So are we the man making sure that Jesus gets a nice way by shoving people out of the way? Or are we the person going, do you know what, Jesus, you come and do what you need to do in this moment. And if you want to use me by your grace, I'm here. They're the ones at the back, by the way. Always the ones at the back. So in this moment, because every time that we make a move towards Jesus, let me tell you, someone's going to come out of somewhere and go, shh. The moment you take a stand for Christ, somebody's going to come and try and shoot you down. Now, in some countries, that is literal. In here, they're going to mock you. You think persecution doesn't exist here? Absolutely not. You talk to any teenager in school that stood up and said, I'm a Christian. You talk to any person in the workplace that's gone, do you know what, I'm going to live like Christ called me to live. Whoa, there's going to be a backlash. Of course there is. And in this moment, this person who has identified Fred, our friend Fred, has identified Jesus for who he is, and the first thing that happens is he's told to shut up. The first thing that's happened is he's told to just get out of the way, go and sit back down. You're the lowest of society. You're not important. Which is completely contradictory to everything that Jesus has done and everything that he has said. So those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more. He knew it. He knew it in his heart. He was not going to let this moment pass him. He knew who this guy was. And he knew that if Jesus is passing by, something has to change. That's what he knew, which is why he called out all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. Again, Jesus, I don't care what they're saying. I know who you are. I know you are good. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong. Have mercy on me. Let me tell you, it's in that moment that the miracle happens. But we're going to come back. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Do you know what? This doesn't actually happen that often in the Bible. There's not many times when Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" So why? Why in this moment does Jesus ask this person, "What do you want me to do for you?" I mean, personally, I think it's pretty obvious. Yes, he's kind of walked over like this. I mean, surely Jesus, all-knowing, kind of knows. But can you see the connection in this moment? Fred has called him by name. Fred has told him exactly who he is. Fred has an understanding of who Jesus is. So Jesus knows that he can ask him that question. I don't know about you right now, but if Jesus came in and asked you, "What do you want me to do for you?" I think there'd be a couple of £1 million, new car, new house. Help me be a better Christian, but I also need a really nice holiday. Do you know what I mean? I don't know, but Jesus knew in this moment because he had identified him by name, because he knew exactly who he was talking to. He would not be quiet. He was not going to let it go. That's the reason that Jesus turns around to him and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" He knew it. And Jesus knew his heart. Jesus read his heart in that moment. You know what? When we come to Jesus knowing fully who he is, when we come to Jesus in that moment and actually we have understood exactly who he is, then I think it's in those times that God turns around and says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Because if we really know who he is, we're going to ask with something that's in line with who he is and who we are. We're going to ask with an understanding of actually, do you know what? I was made, I was created. I am born again, I am saved from all I have done, therefore I'm going to ask something that's going to help me walk that out. And in this moment, that was the question. What do you want me to do for you? Fred turns around and in my eyes says the obvious, "Lord, I want to see. I want to see." Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight, your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. You know what? The miracle had already happened. Because what happened in this situation is that his want and his desire lined up with the will of God. Because in that moment, Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Therefore, that was the word of Jesus, and his faith in who Jesus is had lined up. Let me tell you this, if there's any of us out there that we're not quite getting the answer to prayer that we want, maybe our prayer is not in line with the will of God. Ouch. That can hurt. You know, before as a Christian, I gave God many opportunities to prove himself. And my big one was this. I'd lie in bed and I'd go, "God, if you can turn on that TV without me touching the remote, I believe." It was so simple. I'm like, "God, come on, if you created the earth, if you did all of this stuff and everything around me, I see you created it, you made trees grow, you made the flowers grow, you made them disappear and then come back again every year. If you did all of this, right, just turn on my TV. Please, I want to believe." Do you know what he never did? Can you believe it? God never turned on the TV. And I was gutted, I was baffled. I'm like, and so again, it would go, a couple of months would go by and I'd be laid in bed again and it would be full of sin. I'd go, "God, you know what? If you're real, turn on the TV. I believe." How was that prayer anything to do with who God was? It wasn't. It was never going to happen. Even with faith as strong as I could muster, the TV was never going to turn on. Because it didn't line up with the word of God. It wasn't him being who he is. It was me being God. It was me saying, "Do you know what? You do that and I believe." Well, that's me taking the place of God, right? That's not me coming and going, "Lord, have mercy on me." That's not me humbling myself before God and going, "Let your will be done, not mine, God. Let your will be done in my life." That's the prayers that we read in the Bible. "No, God, turn on the TV. I want you to turn on the TV now." I sound like a spoiled little child. By his grace and his mercy, thank God he rescued me. It was a few years later, and it was a very different prayer. But it certainly wasn't turned on the TV. Right? We cannot be God of our own situation. We cannot be God of our own lives. I believe the reason Fred was healed was because he humbled himself before God. He said, "Have mercy on me. I am but a sinner. I've done wrong. I know who I am." I mean, in some ways, he was reminded of that daily by his position in society. He couldn't see, so his senses were heightened into who Jesus was. But you know what? When we come to God in that humility, when we come to God in that place going, "God, have your way in my life." I mean, be careful and be genuine. It can send you anywhere. It can send you to Zambia. That. But then how much fulfillment do you get from being in Zambia? How much fulfillment do you get being in the place that God wants you to be? How much fulfillment do you get being in the place that's actually maybe out of the comfort zone, but you know what? Your senses are heightened because you're real close to God in that moment. I love this story so much because it tells us so much of how we are to live today. For little Fred sat there by the side of the road, Bartimaeus, the two blind men, whatever you want to say, right? It wanted to see, and God came and healed him. I don't know what it is for you right now. I don't know what it is, the move of God that you want in your life, but I think one of the greatest prayers is, "God, come and have your way. Come and do what you want to do in this situation." My wife never chose to be blind for 3 days, but she never felt closer to God. You know, sometimes in the most peculiar situations, we can feel that closeness to God. But we have to lose some of the distractions. Maybe from time to time, just some of you just put your hands over your eyes and just go, "God, please remind me. Please help me. I want you to be the center. I want you to be the all." And in this moment, we saw the miracle. When God passes by, things happen. But we've got to get his name right. We've got to know who he is. We've got to know what he's about. We've got to remember what he's done. And we've got to remember that he is God, the Holy God, the Lord Almighty.